Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
The Father sees us different than we see ourselves. And He gives us the scripture and opens up how He views us here. And I go, Lord, I can't believe that You view me this way. Then I begin to walk in that and understand that.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
If you don't mind, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. We today are going to continue our study in Ephesians chapter 2. If you are visiting, what we do on Sunday mornings is we study the New Testament. And we started with Matthew, and we're going through, and you find ourselves today in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You will notice that on the screen it says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, part 2. Last week we had part 1. This, to me, is one of the most pivotal verses in this entire book. Look what it says. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Go back to verse 3 of chapter 1. I do this just to remind us of what we're doing in these first three chapters. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, notice the tense, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. They come from heaven in Christ. Beautiful verse. Now, as you that have been here know, we've been studying this, and we have sprung forth from verse 3, looking at the wealth of the believer that's found in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Approximately 50. Some people have been coming up to me and saying, Bill, you're skipping one. You're skipping this one. You're skipping that one. And I say, okay, all right, I'll look at these and all that, but there's just a lot of them. A lot of blessings that we have because we are in Christ Jesus today. If for some reason that you have not given your heart to Jesus Christ, I would pray that today you would. And that you'd come up to me or grab someone around you and just pray afterward and repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. There is nothing like it. Truly, there's nothing like it. But it is challenging. It is challenging in many, many ways. But here we have this wonderful verse, and in this verse we see three other blessings. Blessing number 22, blessing number 23, and blessing number 24. That number 23 is there in verse 10, for we are His workmanship. That's a blessing that we have. Number 2 we see, but number 23 in the group that we're going through, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And then the final blessing found in verse 10, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so great blessings that we have, and we're going to discuss those a little bit. But last week, there were men that weren't here because you were at the men's advance. Good for you. But we went ahead and we continued our study in Ephesians chapter 2. You may not have been able to be here either. So I just want to review for a moment that which we covered last week. And so on that page that I've asked you to have, you'll notice on the front of it, it says three principles. And this is what we covered last week. Three principles that enable us to fulfill the good works that He has created us for. So He's created us for good works. And if we're still breathing, then we're able and equipped to do those good works. The good works can be prayer, you know, and we're able to do that at all times wherever we are. But principle number one, notice, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have been given all the provisions we need for fulfilling God's ministry for us. It's there very quickly. I'm not going to teach a lot on these because we did last week. God has given us his Son. God has given us his Word. God has given us his Spirit. Principle number two that we studied last week, God has a unique plan of ministry for every believer, every single one of us that believe in Christ. And notice it says God gives us, as believers, spiritual gifts. Each spiritual gift is sovereignly distributed by the will of the Holy Spirit. And then principle number three, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we are called to minister and are needed in ministry by the rest of the body of Christ. And so we see when each believer faithfully serves in ministry, the entire body is built up in love. And then B, under three, when a believer uses spiritual gifts in a biblical manner, it fosters care for one another, it eliminates division in the body of Christ, and number three, it glorifies God. So three principles we talked about last week, just bringing you up to date. Study those, look at the scriptures there. And then we closed out the message last week as we desire to walk as Jesus walked in ministry. We are, number one, called to be living sacrifices, in the notes it says. Number two, called to serve God with spiritual gifts. And number three, called to behave like a Christian. Now, guys, did you see that? Hear that one? Especially called to behave like a, I'm only kidding, okay, to be like a Christian. All of us are called to do that. And our mission of service as Christians, it's described in Romans chapter 12. That's one of the places. There's so many, all scripture shows us what our mission is. And how are we supposed to accomplish the ministry God has given to each of us? How's it say there? By faith. Now, if you'll turn it over, you see the outline for the message today. Notice what we're going to do. We're going to look at E, our present condition. Then we're going to look at F, our present master. Following that will be our present privilege, our present position, our present calling. There's some things listed under that. Our present rest and our present purpose and some things that are listed under that. And then we will take communion. So simple, very simple message, but I believe very, very important for us. Again, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Some people believe this section of scripture here, starting in verse 1 through 10, is one of the most evangelistic areas of scripture found in the Bible. They clearly give us a picture of God's purpose and calling upon our lives. And so we need to look at this, in which we've been spending a lot of time thus far, but next week we will begin to pick up our pace as we continue through the book of Ephesians. So number one, we see that we are very, very important that we understand that. This is our present condition. You and I need to understand how the Bible teaches God looks at us. So often we look at ourselves through our flesh. And if we do that, we see something that's not very pretty, correct? Okay? But that isn't necessary. That isn't how God, I'm not saying that he doesn't recognize that we enter into our flesh. God sees all things, he knows all things. But yet he would want us to know very quickly who we are in Christ Jesus. We are, our present condition, new creations, created in the image of Jesus Christ. Are we being transformed each and every day? So our present condition, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. And so we are in Christ, and we have a purpose. Our present condition is in Christ. We are called to do these good works. We are, it says there. And there's so much in that. The Father sees us different than we see ourselves. And he gives us the scripture and opens up how he views us here. And I go, Lord, I can't believe that you view me this way. And then when I understand that he views me this way, then I begin to walk in that and understand that. So often we are affected by our environment. We know that we are. But God doesn't want us to be affected by our environment. He realizes that. He wants us to rise above our environment because it can bring us down and keep us trapped in that way. He wants us to see who he has called us to be. You know, to be in Florida would be nice, wouldn't it? It would. Well, only a few saying that. To be in Florida is nice. To be in Hawaii is even better, right? But to be in Christ is the best. Amen? It's the best. You and I today, look at verse 10, and I'm going to go through this verse very slowly as we approach communion. We are, you and I. He wants us to understand our present condition. Forgiven of all of our sins, cleansed from our sins. We today are the King's kids. We are more than victorious in the midst of the battle. That's who we are. Anybody say, thank you, Jesus? That's who we are. The world isn't taught this. Unfortunately, within the Christian church, so often, they're not taught this. They're taught the do's and don'ts. It isn't that we're not supposed to do things and not to do other things, but yet it's by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives through the victory of Jesus Christ that he enables us and empowers us to do the things that he has called us to do. For we are, that's our present condition. Notice in verse 10, for we are, what's the next word? His. We belong to him. You and I belong to him. There's no two ways around it. He is our present master. He is our master. He is to be that. This points to the present reality of who owns us. Now, we don't like that as Christian, American Christians, but he, according to Scripture, owns us. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our master. So Paul is saying, for we are his. You and I are his. Today, you may be sitting next to your wife. She does not belong to you. I was talking to somebody this week and was encourage him to understand, your wife does not belong to you. You do not belong to your wife. Now, there's a special calling that we have and privilege that we have called marriage. But each and every one of us belongs to who? God. God. And so we have to treat, and we should want to, treat each other that way, that it's God's possession. It belongs. We, as human beings, belong to God. In Romans chapter 14, verse 8, it says, for if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Very simple. That's what Paul's saying. For we are his. That's who we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Today, we live our lives realizing that we belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's who we belong to. We have a privilege to be a father. We have a privilege as we honor today the mothers that are here within our midst. Very wonderful privilege. But we belong to God. And I like that, don't you guys? Truly. Because 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 tells us God is love. That's who he is. We may not always believe it or always recognize it, but every single thing comes out of his love that we experience. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells us all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. Not all things are good. We have difficult times here, but yet he's in control of our lives. He is a sovereign Lord, and we are to allow him to be the master of our life. So we have our present condition. We have our present master. And notice in verse 10, for we are his workmanship. This is our present privilege. We are, the word for workmanship, as you know, you guys have studied this, is poema, which means poem. Today we are God's poem. Now look to the left and look to the right and see if you think that is a poem. It is. It's a beautiful thing that God has created. So our present privilege is that we are His workmanship. We are in Christ Jesus. We are the products of what God's grace can do in people. That's who we are, His workmanships. Christians are God's work of art. We are His masterpiece. Isn't that amazing? What the scriptures tell us that. So often in Christianity, people beat you down. In religion, people are beaten down and all that. In the Bible, God takes us to that point to realize that we are His masterpiece. I think, wow, that's amazing. Now, I don't go around telling everybody that you're God. Well, at least I don't say that I'm God's masterpiece, because you'd be discouraged. But that's who we are. We are God's masterpiece. We are God's work of art. And He wants us to know that. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said this, "Let your light so shine before men that you may see, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let His light through us as His masterpiece shine. Look in verse 10 again. Go through it there. "For we are His workmanship." Notice what it says, "created in Christ Jesus." That's our present position. We have, as we look through this, a present condition. We have our present master. We have our present privilege. And we have our present condition. What is that new position? We are new men, new women in Christ Jesus. We are new. Listen to the word in Romans chapter 6. "Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism," spiritual baptism, "into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life." That's our position, newness of life. Romans chapter 7, verse 6 says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." We've been set free from the law. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, you guys know it. Say it with me. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have, behold, all things have become new." That's who you and I are. It's a wonderful thing when we dive into Scripture and realize our present position in Christ. Not our past, not our future, our present position. It includes our future, but that's who we are today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "And have put on the new man." There's that putting on, that acknowledging of what Christ has done for us, "who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." Man, that is amazing. We are being conformed into the very image of Jesus Christ. How many today realize that you're different than you were 5 years ago? We are. And we're going to be different, praise the Lord, if He tarries 5 years from now. Because we are being conformed into His image. As new men, as new women, we are to seek higher things. Colossians chapter 3 says this, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." The Bible tells us that Jesus is interceding there at the right hand of God. I was talking to someone about that this week, going through some trials in a situation, and I said, it came to my mind, do you realize that Jesus is interceding for you, maybe at this very moment? And there was a silence on the other side of the phone. And he says, "I haven't thought about that for a while." "I'm okay," then he goes, "Yeah, you're okay." He knows everything. He talks to our dad on our behalf, and he said, "It is finished." And we just have to allow that to happen in our lives. "For you," again, verse 10, "for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." For what purpose? Good works. Good works. Our present calling. What do these works look like? It's all the way through the scriptures. One, I found, glorify God. Our good works is to bring glory to God. Jesus said, again, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to enrich the lives of others. 1 Timothy, Paul said, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Excuse me. We are to furnish a pattern for others to follow. That's our good works. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. We set that example. Others can look at that and say, that's what a Christian is about. That's how you respond to trial. I don't understand how they responded in the midst of this, but I want to know. I want to know. That's a tragedy they're going through. It's difficult they're going through, but yet they seem to have this peace. They seem to have this trust in the midst of it that God is going to work it out. I want to know about that. How do they see that? We become Christ for them, an example for them. Today, our calling is to summon others to their test, to encourage them. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We just encourage them, open doors for people, tell them to run through these things and see what the Lord would happen. And we are to demonstrate the reality of faith as people see us walking in faith. Again, look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which, here it comes, God prepared beforehand, our present rest. This is an amazing thing. He wants us to rest. Hebrews says, enter into the rest of the Lord. Now, what do you mean? I'm not supposed to be doing things active? No. But as you're active and you're doing things, you're resting in him. He's preordained. In other words, God has pre-prepared beforehand the things that we are to walk in and to accomplish. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 11. Just as he, God, chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Wow. Now I know we get into all kinds of potential theological considerations there. I just know that it says in Scripture, he predestines. And I just know in Scripture that he says you have a freedom of choice. You have. How does it work together? Talk to God about it. He'll do a better job than I possibly can in understanding it. But I know that in Ephesians chapter 3, it says this, according to the eternal purpose which he, God, accomplished, how? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Preordained, predestined. According, and so today, our present position is to rest in that which he's called us to do. Learning to rest, whatever the situation is. We go through, do we not, some challenging situations? Yes, we do. How to rest in the midst of that is not necessarily easy, but if we turn to him and trust him, then we'll find that place of resting. It's not inactivity, it's that place of peace as we continue to march forward for the glory of God. Verse 10 again, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. And here it comes, very powerful, that we should, what? Walk in them. That's our purpose. See, there's a walking in the midst of his purpose. Now, if I may use as an example, and I'm sorry if I bore you a little bit on this one, but I was thinking as I was going through this that God called us from San Diego to Indianapolis. We did not know what he wanted to do. We didn't have it. I didn't have in my heart to be, quote, a senior pastor. I was very happy being an associate pastor. I thought I would bury my bones there. That's okay. That's what we're supposed to do as we serve ministry. But he had a different thing. And he says, okay, leave San Diego. Okay, Lord, we'll leave San Diego. Excuse me a minute. Coming across from San Diego to Indianapolis, it was just like, what are we doing? The first year we were here, what are we doing? But we learn, as he revealed his purpose, to walk in it, to walk in it. That's a very important thing that we must learn, our present purpose, learning wherever we are, whatever he's doing us, the job that we have, the position we have, excuse me, the school that we find ourselves in, that we should walk in them. Walk in new life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, as an example of what we're to walk in. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So there's newness of life. It's revealed to us right here. We got it right here. And so as it's revealed to us, we learn to walk in that, walk in the truth. We walk in faith. It says in Scripture, for we walk in faith, not by sight. We walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in such a way that there's a consistency to your life. In Ephesians 4:1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So we can walk in that way. We can walk in love, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And we are to walk circumspectly. Again, in Ephesians 5:15, we are to walk with caution. We realize we live in this world, and it's a crazy, is it not a crazy world? It is. But we get this privilege to walk in this world. We don't try to go hide our head in the sand. We walk in him. And then it says, walk in the light. Jesus said this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have, sorry, Jesus didn't say this, but we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then we walk like Jesus. In 1 John 2:6, it says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So we have that privilege. What are we to do? Look at verse 10. For we are his work. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We have a present condition. We have a present master. We have a present privilege. We have a present position in Christ. We have a present calling upon our lives. We have a present rest that God has called us into, and we have a purpose, our present purpose for them. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, and now we are preparing for communion this morning. Ending this message with this, but also preparing us now for communion that we would walk in it. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Bless you. We are to be living sacrifices to God. Notice, I beseech you, Paul says, I beg you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that's how we are to do it. That you, it's a personal thing we do. I try to do this daily. Present your bodies, your lives, a living sacrifice. It is holy and acceptable because of what Jesus has done, but notice it is our reasonable service or our act of spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That ties in really well to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's a wonderful call that we have as Christians, is it not?
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.